Let us read that psalm, Psalm 136. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that made great lights, for His mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for His mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for His mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for His mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which led His people through the wilderness, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which smote great kings, for His mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for His mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for His mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for His mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for His mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel His servant, for His mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for His mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for His mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever. Thus far the reading of the Holy and Divine Scripture. We consider as our text this morning, verse 25, Who giveth food to all flesh, for His mercy endureth forever. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the psalm is an anthem of thanksgiving to God who is good. It is a long list of reasons why the believer is called to give thanks unto God. Those reasons may seem many at first, many verses of many reasons, so that there are many reasons for the believer to give thanks, but the psalm teaches us that there is one fundamental reason why the believer gives thanks. Jehovah is good. The psalm is one long explanation of the goodness of Jehovah, for which goodness the believer is called to give thanks. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. And that psalm then also explains that goodness of Jehovah, for He is the overflowing fountain of all good, flows to His people because of His mercy. It all is because of His mercy. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. That is repeated over and over in the psalm, except we must understand this, that goodness of Jehovah for which the believer gives thanks is spelled out in each verse. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. What's the goodness? He made great lights. He spread out the earth above the sea. He divided the Red Sea into parts. He redeemed Israel. That's the goodness of Jehovah. It's spelled out in each part. And we would think, we may even suppose, the psalm should have ended with verse 24. And He hath redeemed us from our enemies, for His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the Lord, the God of heaven, for His mercy endureth forever. But the psalm does not end there. The Spirit knows man. The Spirit knows man, us too, that man does not give thanks properly unless man gives thanks for his food properly. A man that cannot explain or know or understand the relationship between God, food, and thanksgiving cannot give thanks to God. His thanks will necessarily be wrong if he does not understand that relationship. The man that doesn't know the relationship between God and man, and mercy, and goodness, and food, that man doesn't even understand his food right. Therefore, he can't give thanks right either. Hogs, of course, can grunt when they have full troughs. But no one would say that that grunting is their giving of thanks properly to Jehovah. Man can grunt when his trough is full. But what about when it's empty? Does he kick, scream, and bellow like the animal? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving in the sense of the text is exceedingly rare and precious. It is as rare and it is as precious as God's own mercy extended toward His people in the giving of food to all flesh. Our thanksgiving must proceed from a proper understanding of the relationship between God, His mercy, His food, and all flesh. Unless this morning, then, spend a few moments with the text to come to an understanding of that relationship, so that we too can give thanks, not like the hog that grunts, but with understanding and by faith. Let's consider this text under the theme, Jehovah's goodness in giving food to all flesh. Jehovah's goodness is the main theme of the text. Jehovah is good. That's the thought of the whole psalm. Jehovah is good in Himself. Jehovah's goodness does not depend upon any evaluation of His acts in the world by man. Jehovah is good in Himself. That's the confession of the psalm. Jehovah's goodness is His infinitely perfect being. He is wholly good in Himself without respect to the creature. Wherever God looks in Himself, wherever God examines Himself, what He finds is all perfect goodness. And Jehovah then too is good in His counsel. In every single act of His counsel whereby He determined to do all things, He's good. He of course decrees evil. That's included in His counsel too. He decrees that evil, however, as that for which He has a good purpose. That's in the text, you know. He turned the hearts of the Egyptians against His people so that they dealt subtly with them, brought them into bondage. But why? In order that He might raise up Pharaoh so that He could get Him glory upon Pharaoh and deliver His people Israel. God decrees evil too, but that evil for which He has a good purpose in all His counsel. in all His decrees. God is good. And He's good then too in all His deeds in the world. His deeds that proceed from His infinitely good being and that are performed according to His infinitely good counsel. He's good in all those deeds too. And the psalm speaks of that. He's good in His wonders. All His miracles that He does. He's good when He made the world. He's good when He made great lights. He's good when He slew Egypt and their firstborn. He was good when He brought up Israel. He was good when He divided the Red Sea and led Israel through that sea. He was good when He destroyed Pharaoh and all his hosts. Jehovah is good. He's good, too, in that He giveth food to all flesh. One more reason. Wherein Jehovah reveals His goodness. He gives food to all flesh. To flesh. Flesh stands in the text in contrast to spirit. There are spirits, too, that are sustained by the inexhaustible fountain of God's goodness. Their meat, though, is to do His will. Day and night, without rest, without ceasing, they are sustained by God as spirits and upheld by Him, utterly dependent upon Him. But they don't need food. Flesh needs food. Flesh is that which is earthly. It is blood, and it is skin, and it is bones. And it has a body. Flesh is fitted for life upon a physical earth. Flesh belongs to the animate creature that inhabits the earth and that swims in the sea and that flies in the heaven. And all of the untold variety of the creeping and the crawling things are flesh. But flesh here refers especially to man as the crown of creation. Flesh describes man as man came up out of the dust, formed by the hand of God, and into whose nostrils God breathed the breath of life. And flesh then stands for man in his whole life in the world. Stands for man with his body, man with his wisdom, man with his intellect. Man with his accomplishments and strength and ingenuity in the world. Man in his life in this creation. Now, with regard to flesh, whether flesh of beasts, birds, or man, He giveth food to all flesh. Flesh needs food. That was true of Adam in his perfection in the beginning. Flesh needs food. That's true of man since the fall, too. He needs food. Take away his food, and he dies. Now, Jehovah is good in that He gives food to all flesh. He gives to the beasts and the birds and the creeping and crawling things. And the Bible speaks eloquently of this. He hears the lions roaring, and He hunts their prey for them. He causes the eagle to mount up on his wings, to fly over the land in the search for prey. He sees behemoth stalking through the hills. Leviathan plays before Him. He opens His hand, and He feeds all living things. He hideth His face, and they're troubled. He gives food to man. All flesh. He gives food, says the text, not because that food is the limit of His gift to man and to flesh, but because that food is the most conspicuous example of God's regard for the life of the creature. And because that food is the most basic need of the life of that creature. So that when the text says He gives food to all flesh, the text is saying that He gives what is necessary to sustain the earthly life of that creature. And then that means, too, when He gives food to all flesh, He upholds by means of that food the entire earthly life of that creature, whether man or beast. Turns that food so that that food serves to support that man. And that means, too, that He gives with the food all of the man's powers and talents and abilities, his intellect and his mind and his strength. God gives that to all flesh. There's nothing that man has, since God gives him food, that he does not receive from God. That text, then, when it says God gives food to all flesh, declares flesh to be utterly dependent upon God. Flesh describes man in his dependence, in his weakness, in his limitation. He's grass. His glory is like the flower of the grass. He is so weak, he is so utterly dependent, that he cannot even support his own earthly life and seek and get his own food. God must give it to him. The flesh here in the text then stands in contrast to deity. God. Flesh is dependent. God is independent. Depends on no one. And owns everything. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine, man is mine. Flesh can only receive. Flesh is wholly dependent. And God is good in that He gives food to all flesh. Because it's God who gives food to all flesh, you have to pay regard to the means that God uses. Sometimes God gives food to flesh like He did to Israel in the wilderness. He rains manna from heaven. God can keep His people alive in famine. But more often, God gives food to all flesh by means. He uses the means of labor and of industry and of diligence. But that God uses means doesn't detract from the truth of the text that by means and by use of those means, God gives food to all flesh. And because it's God who gives food to all flesh, you also have to understand that God gives food to all flesh according to His own determination. The fact that He gives food to all flesh does not mean that He gives food to all flesh equally. It's God we're talking about. He gives food to all flesh according to His will. To some He gives much, to some He gives little. To some He withholds. And He gives food to all flesh in that He gives food to all flesh from the very beginning, for thousands and thousands of years, every day, God has given food to all flesh. And His goodness, you see, does not depend upon the fact that He gives that food. That can't be. When God gives food to the lions, He takes away the life of a zebra. When God gives food to a shark, He snuffs out the life of a seal pup. That's in the text, too. He gives food to all flesh, and sometimes He withholds food from flesh. And when He withholds food from flesh, they die. His goodness doesn't depend upon the fact that He gives the food to all flesh, but the giving of the food to all flesh is the evidence of, is the confession of Jehovah's goodness. That goodness reveals itself in this fact that He gives food to all flesh so that out of that perfect, infinitely perfect being of moral purity and perfection. That fountain of goodness, inexhaustible fountain of goodness. He gives food to all flesh and upholds their life, sustains them, even wicked men, in His opposition to them. He does that, says the text, because His mercy endureth forever. The goodness of a deed, the proper understanding of a deed, is arrived at when we understand what motivates that deed. There's, of course, an objective standard of what is good. In God's activity, the objective standard of what is good is His own perfect good being. He is good. No one can take God into the judgment and say, "What doest thou?" He is good. But to come to the understanding of the goodness of that activity of God of giving food to all flesh, you have to understand what motivates it. What moves Him to give to food to all flesh, to feed the lions and the birds and the creeping and crawling things, and to give to wicked man and to give to His people. What motivates that? His mercy. He gives food to all flesh because His mercy endureth forever. Mercy here is God's steadfast covenant love. That's what the word mercy means. And it's God's steadfast covenant love, as that is first of all in God. God is merciful in Himself without respect to the creature. God has been merciful from all eternity. He did not become merciful when He made the world, or when man fell into sin. God is merciful. And what is that mercy in God? Mercy at its heart, steadfast covenant love, is the will to bless. Isn't that true in us? When we have mercy on someone, we see them in some misery, and we desire to lift them out of that misery, to remove that misery. There's no misery in God, but that will to bless is there. Mercy in God is God's own eternal determination to glorify Himself the highest possible way. God does all in order that God be glorified. That's mercy. Toward His creatures then, God's mercy is His deep and tender pity toward them, to make them unspeakably blessed by revealing to them His own glorious good being. That's mercy. The heart of that mercy is Jesus. God wills His glory in Jesus Christ to take that man, Jesus Christ, and to set him far above all heavens, to rule all things by His hand, to perfect all things in Him so that all things are wrapped up in Jesus Christ, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Christ is at the heart of God's mercy. And that mercy, of course, then extends to the entire creation, that God willed that the entire creation be blessed in Him in Christ Jesus. Lions and tigers and giraffes and zebras and trees and grass and rocks, and the sun, moon, and stars, that it all be glorified in Christ Jesus. And at the heart of that creation stands man. Humanity. Humanity, as that humanity is understood according to God's mercy. A humanity upon which God in His mercy had pity, so that He chose certain members of the human race to salvation in Jesus Christ. And to that glory He determined to establish with them a covenant, to give them the world as their eternal inheritance, so that all belongs to them. And at the same time, and with the same purpose, His glory, to appoint certain persons of the human race to damnation. Speaking of His mercy, The prophets and the apostles said, He had mercy upon whom He will have mercy, and whom He wills He hardens. Speaking of His mercy, the prophets and the apostles say that He raised up Pharaoh in order that He might destroy him and get him glory. Now He gives food to all flesh because His mercy endureth forever. Giving food to all flesh by God proceeds from and is motivated by the mercy of God according to the context whereby He made the world. God made the world in love in order that that world be the stage for the revelation of His glory. In order that that world be unspeakably blessed in Him. That too motivates why He gives food to all flesh. Giving food to all flesh proceeds from the very same mercy of God that smote Egypt in its firstborn and delivered His people Israel, that divided the Red Sea, causing Israel to pass through and closing the sea again and destroying Pharaoh and his host. That mercy too is the mercy whereby He gives food. Divide the sea and to deliver Israel and destroy Egypt. To stalk through the land of Egypt and the mighty angel and to enter into this house and that house and slay the firstborn and to spare Egypt, or rather to spare Israel. That mercy is the very same mercy. That kind of act is the very same act whereby God gives food to all flesh. It is foolish then to say that He gives food to the wicked because He loves them, as to say that a farmer that gives food to his steer loves the steer. It's as foolish to say that He gives food to the wicked because He loves them, as to say that He divided the Red Sea in His great love for Pharaoh, destroyed Pharaoh in His great mercy toward Pharaoh. It's as foolish to say that He gives food to the wicked as to say that He destroyed Sihon and Og, king of Bashan, in His great love toward them. He gives food because His mercy endureth forever. So that He overthrows Pharaoh. And He destroys Og, king of Bashan, and Sihon, king of the Amorites. And He gives them millions and millions of dollars in gold out of the very same purpose, to overthrow them. In His distribution of food to all flesh, He is good. Give thanks to the Lord. He's good. And that He gives food to all flesh. His goodness is not that in that giving He is gracious to all. His goodness is not that in that giving He desires the salvation of all. His goodness is not that in that giving He wills that they have a beautiful and blessed earthly life. That's not why He's good when He gives food to all flesh. He's good when He gives food to all flesh because the giving of that food serves the advancement of the eternal purpose of His mercy as much as the deliverance of Israel from Egypt. And the cross, the coming again of Jesus Christ. He's good when He gives food to the wicked because that food, every crumb of it, serves with unfailing precision to harden them in their hatred and their opposition against God, in order that they might ripen and fill up their cup of iniquity, and He destroy them and exclude them from His earth. He upholds them when He gives them their food. He turns that food so that that food supports their life, not because He loves them, but in the service of His eternal purpose for them, which is their destruction. He is good when He gives food to all, because He gives that food according to the need of His people Israel. He gives to this one this and to that one that. He makes the world markets do this and the world economies do that for Israel's sake, because His mercy endureth forever. He wills yet that there be a world so that His Israel may live in it. He wills yet that there be a world so that He might gather His beloved Israel out of that world into His blessed covenant of fellowship and friendship. He gives food to all flesh, beasts and birds, because He regards their lives. He wills that they be upheld until He redeems them in the regeneration of all things, the coming of Jesus Christ again. He's good when He gives food to Israel, because His mercy endureth forever. So that in the giving of food to His people, or when He withholds it, every crumb, or lack of it, serves for their eternal salvation. That Reformed view of earthly things is crucial for thanksgiving. It's the basis, says the text, of thanksgiving. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, who gives food to all flesh, for His mercy endureth forever. The Reformed view of earthly things is that they are goods, they are gifts, but they are not grace. The Reformed view of earthly things is that they are benefits. They are God's good gifts to all flesh. But they are not to be worshipped or sought or viewed as God's blessing upon men. That stands over against the activity of man, flesh. Flesh has to hear this. Because flesh, you and I too, are flesh. Flesh seeks earthly things. Flesh takes the earthly things that support its life, and flesh says, not God is God, but they are God. And flesh seeks after mammon. It's crucial to understand the relationship between God and earthly things and mercy, so that one's thanksgiving may be proper. If one does not understand the relationship between God and man and mercy and food, his thanksgiving will be all wrong. Thanksgiving Day ought to make you thankful first for your church. Your church and churches were the relationship between God, mercy, and earthly things is properly understood. There will be many who say today, God gives to all flesh in His love and His mercy toward them. And by that, they have corrupted their thanksgiving. Give thanks to the Lord, for He's good. Because He gives food to all flesh, not in His love for all men, but in the advancement of His eternal purpose, the salvation of some and the damnation of others. There is the Reformed expression of the relationship between God, mercy, and earthly things. Understanding that, but believing it, then we may give thanks properly to that God. Thank Him because He's good. Not merely that you've received an abundance or I've received an abundance that year, but because He's good. Give thanks to the Lord, for He's good. He's good to us. Let not our thanks be like the hogs who grunt when the trough is full, but bellow when it's empty. He's good to us when He gives us heaps of earthly things. And He's good to us when He takes away almost everything we have. He's good. Give thanks to the Lord, for He's good. Give thanks to Him. Give thanks to Him that in the giving of the earthly things, He sent with them His blessing, so that those earthly things profited you. Thanksgiving isn't merely words. Thanksgiving is not even merely an activity. Certainly, thanksgiving is not limited to showing up to a worship service. Thanksgiving is an entire life. Thanksgiving is an entire life and a way of life of those whom God has redeemed. And now applying that to specifically earthly things, it is a way of life with respect to those earthly things proceeding from this truth. That with those earthly things, God gives His blessing to His people. That means that when we give thanks today, we have to first of all confess our sins with respect to earthly things. The first activity of thanksgiving is to say, Lord, we're sorry for all the abuse and the waste of Thy good gifts. Lord, we're sorry that we were so foolish as to suppose in our distresses that the One who gives food to beasts, clothes the lilies of the field and feeds the ravens and even upholds wicked men in their opposition to Thee, that we were so foolish as to suppose that Thou had forgotten us, Thy redeemed people. Lord, we're sorry. We were so foolish as to envy the ungodly and their prosperity in the world while we suffered, supposing that the ungodly were blessed in their earthly prosperity while we were chastened and cursed. Knowing now the opposite, that Thou dost set them up in slippery places, we do not envy the ungodly at all in their earthly prosperity. And neither do we chafe under Thy chastening hand, but receive it from Thee as good. For thanksgiving, we'll confess our sin. For chasing after those earthly things is God. Lord, we're sorry that we often lusted after and worshipped and fell down to Mammon as our God, that we trusted in Him to deliver us from all our woes, and we did not trust Thee. We have to confess that we're sorry for our anxiety about earthly things, that oftentimes, contrary to the very command of Jesus Himself, we worried what we would eat and what we would drink and wherewithal we would be clothed and how we would pay that bill. Lord, we're sorry for being anxious about earthly things. We're sorry that in our lust for earthly things, we often took what was the neighbor's, did not seek His good, but sought our own. We're sorry that in the reception of those earthly things, we used them for ourselves and not Thy glory or Thy kingdom. We're sorry that our anxiety over those earthly things, we often withheld from the kingdom of heaven instead of giving to the kingdom of heaven because we were worried if we would have enough. We're sorry. We're sorry. Sometimes we reject it without its give. Of all those good earthly things, we're sorry because we were often thankful for the abundance and not because Jehovah is good. We're sorry that we often chafed and rebelled against and kicked and bellowed at the lack that Thou and Thy goodness did send to us. We're sorry that on our lips often was the words, "We thank Thee," but in our heart was covetousness. We thank Thee, Lord, by being sorry all our sins with respect to earthly things. And we thank Thee that Thou hast redeemed us and dost not view us in our earthly life as we are in ourselves with our use of those things, but as we are in Christ. The Christ who in His earthly life had neither a head for His pillow or a home for His body, but whose meat was to do Thy will. We thank Thee for His righteousness. We thank Thee that in giving to us so many earthly things, Thou hast also sent with them Thy blessing, so that we did not worship those things as God. We did not continue in our pursuit of those earthly things as the end and goal of our life. But we began, according to Thy great mercy, to receive those things with thanksgiving and to begin to use them in a thankful life to the God who is good and whose mercy endureth forever. Lord, we thank Thee that today, too, in all our lives, we may give thanks to Thee for earthly things. And we thank Thee with this resolve that with all the earthly things Thou dost give us, not a tenth is Thine, but all is Thine. All is Thine, for Thou art God, and we are flesh. All is Thine, and I am Thine. We are Thine. We are resolved to use all out of the new man, resolved to use all to the glory of God and the advancement of His eternal kingdom. Lord, God of heaven, who is good, whose mercy endureth forever, we thank Thee that Thou dost give food to all flesh. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we give Thee thanks as the God who is good, whose mercy endureth forever, who giveth food to all flesh, to the elect and reprobate alike, to beasts and to man, and who does that out of Thy eternal and abiding mercy. Lord, uphold all things, the wicked too, the beasts and the creation, and uphold us in it. In thankfulness to Thee, until the Lord comes again to make all things new, and to give us our eternal home, where we may praise and worship Thee in perfection forever, with the whole creation, out of which has been cast out all that is wicked, and that loveth and maketh a lie, for Jesus' sake. Amen.